You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Good morning. This is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson and Terry Recruitment. Now, every week, I am really, really honoured to be joined by the best business people all across Oxfordshire who kindly spend their time by sharing insight of what happens on the ground in the world of business. They share their knowledge, their expertise, and maybe some things for you at home to think about when going around your daily lives. And today it's going to be no different. So I'm really, really delighted to be joined by both Ruth Hawkins and Helen Bishop, both of Boardman Hawkins and Osborne, who are a family law firm in Abingdon. This is the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I look forward to welcoming our two guests after this. Get Radio. Welcome back. This is Get Radio and this is Business Brunch. Today, as you heard before that song, I am delighted to be talking about the world of family law. And to do that, we're joined by Helen Bishop and Ruth Hawkins of Boardman, Hawkins and Osborne. So let's start with you, Ruth, if that's okay. Thank you for joining me, firstly. Can you, for those who don't know you, introduce yourself and indeed Boardman, Hawkins and Osborne to the listener?
Hi, morning, Ben. Yeah, I'm Ruth Hawkins. I'm a partner in Boardman, Hawkins and Osborne, usually known as BH&O, because it slips off the tongue a bit easier. We're a family law specialist firm in Abingdon, but we take our work from all over Oxfordshire and, in fact, all over the country and certainly over the region. We specialise in family law. My particular area of work is in relation to children, and we've been open just over 5 years. We're about to celebrate our fifth birthday. Well, we have just celebrated our fifth birthday and we've got a celebration coming up. But between the partners and also Helen and the other lawyers in the firm, we've got decades worth of experience in this field.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And Helen, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Please, similar to Ruth, share your story with those listening at home.
Good morning. So I'm the head of the matrimonial department. So I look after divorce, private children and matrimonial finances. I head the department. I've got two other solicitors working with me and we've got some paralegals. So I've been working with the firm for 5 years since we started. So I've worked with Ruth for a very long time, far too long to mention on the radio. So that's my story.
Amazing, amazing. Based on past shows, the two hardest questions we always ask are always the song choice because we're always so good at what we do, aren't we? But songs are very hard. So Helen, I'm going to stay with you with a short straw first. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
I'm going to go with Kylie, Can't Get You Out of My Head, just because I think it's a really catchy tune and it's one that's quite old, but it stays quite fresh, I think.
The Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. And following that great song chosen by Helen, we all love a bit of Kylie, don't we? And we have introduced you to Helen and Ruth of BH&O. And today we are going to be talking about the world of family law. So let's start the round table, if that's okay, Ruth. I always think that it's really good not to presume that everybody knows what we know. So can I start with what would seem as a really obvious question? What is family law?
So basically, Ben, it's anything to do with family circumstances. It can be divorce, it can be disputes over children, it can be prenuptial agreements, it can be adoption, it can be child protection work. Theoretically, it can also be things like wills and disputes over wills, although that's an area that we don't actually focus on, and we would signpost inquiries about those particular areas elsewhere. So most of what we do is perhaps crisis led, or, you know, so divorce, family breakdown, arguments about money, about children, etc. Domestic abuse work and so on, and also child protection work. But occasionally it can also be in those areas where it's for nice things like adoption or surrogacy or prenups.
No, absolutely. And Helen, just coming across to your area of specialism, I think it's been widely reported that post-COVID or during COVID that actually a lot of families found it very difficult and that there were challenges. What have you seen in terms of those kind of points, and what are you, I guess, seeing in across Oxfordshire at the moment?
Well, we've always been very busy since we opened 5 years ago, and throughout COVID, that level of work remained constant. I think, yes, families did have difficulties during that time, but I think also people stayed together and maybe didn't go through the divorce process because they couldn't at that time. Mm. Since COVID, we've also had a change in the law, in divorce law, introducing the no-fault divorce, which is making it easier for people to actually go through that process. And the actual divorce itself, they can do without the assistance of a lawyer and just use their solicitors and barristers for doing the actual finance work and the children. So it's become more accessible to get a divorce, and it's less acrimonious because you're doing it with no fault. So there's no blame anymore.
Mm-hmm. And just staying on that point, if you don't mind, what is a no fault divorce? And apologies, I imagine it's what it says on the tin, but yeah, elaborate if that's okay.
It is what it says on the tin. So basically, before the change in the law last year, in order to get a divorce, you had to have an element of blame. So if you'd been had an affair, so if you'd committed adultery, behaviour. You've been separated for 2 years, or you've been deserted, or 5 years separation with them. So if one party doesn't want a divorce, you'd have to wait 5 years if you hadn't got any of the other criteria. So this made what's already going to be a really difficult situation even more difficult, because you have to then find a reason to be divorced, and that can make it even more painful than it already was. So this change in the law takes all that away. So you can either have a sole application and one person do it, or you can do it jointly. So you can both just apply to get divorced on the basis site, so it would be broken down. So it makes it a lot simpler and a lot nicer for all parties.
No, it's much more of a process now. So it's just, you know, you start the process and you end it, as opposed to a big argument as it might previously have been.
And it's a much simpler process, all done online. So it's not the big task that it used to be. So much more user friendly.
No, absolutely. And Ruth, I think, again, I'm by no means qualified to comment on this, but I think that with any big decision, and family life is often bit bigger than anything in the world of business, isn't it? I think often it's the fear of taking that step. Do you think that statement's fair? And what would be, I guess, your advice to somebody potentially in a difficult situation? And I guess not. What would be the first place to signpost, I guess?
I think that is a fair statement. I think that every circumstance, every couple, every family situation is and can be different. So there will be some people for whom they've just drifted apart and they're both on the same page and it's not such a big deal. It's, you know, that perhaps the sort of cases where they've not been together very long, they might not have any children together, or even where they do have children, they're being perhaps quite pragmatic and practical about it. I think for those people, it can often be less of an emotional upheaval. But for very, very many people, I think it's very true to say that family breakdown can be one of the most stressful experiences that they will have. Perhaps, you know, up there with bereavement, really, close family bereavement. And it is... For some people, very similar to experiencing a bereavement, and the process that they go through and the emotional upheaval that they get that comes with that can be very similar. And the other thing to say is that sometimes you'll find that couples that have decided to separate, or where one person has decided that the relationship's over, they are on often diametrically opposed pages, to mix metaphors, in that, you know, one person might have been thinking for some time that they've had enough, and that they might have started seeing somebody else, or they might have been thinking about it, or might have started putting practicalities in place that could enable them to leave the relationship. And the other person can often be completely oblivious to that. And so when it finally comes to the front that one person is saying, that's it, I've had enough, it's a complete and utter shock to the other person. And for that person, that's very much like a bereavement. That is very much like losing somebody just like that, because they haven't seen it coming.
No, I bet. And just in terms of the process, so if somebody's listening now and potentially considering divorce or considering a conversation, what would be the, I guess, the thing to do, or what would be the process of working with you guys?
I'll go first, if that's right, yeah. Helen. I was going to simply mention that, as well as obtaining legal advice, it's also often better at perhaps a very early stage to also think about alternative ways of trying to resolve the issues between parties. And so one of many approaches might be to consider something like family mediation.
Amazing.
So that you both attend mediation appointments, perhaps together, or if it's safe to do so, or if it isn't perhaps completely desirable or safe to do so, you can do it separately, but the mediator goes between the two parties. To really try and drill down the legal issues that might arise upon separation, but also the practical issues. Practical issues over the children, where you're going to live, you know, payment of bills, what you're going to do about the mortgage, are you going to put the house on the market? All of those things can be talked through in mediation, as opposed to perhaps using a solicitor each, or one person has a solicitor and the other one doesn't, or neither of you have a solicitor and try and muddle through. And it can become, our team, I'm confident in saying, will have a very pragmatic, very problem-solving approach to things. But there are some lawyers out there who maybe don't. And I think it's really important to find a lawyer that isn't going to inflame the situation further, and to which, frankly, all that does is increase legal costs, but also to fan the flames of acrimony that then might take years and years before it's finally resolved. So I think it's worth looking at all the possible alternatives that are out there, and finding something that suits your family circumstances.
If I can follow on from that as well, I think it's really important at that initial stage, which, as we quite rightly says, can be a shock to one party more than the other if they hadn't been planning on that. But for both parties, it is almost a grieving process, and there's a lot of emotion that goes with it. So it's really important. We really encourage people to get some to talk it through, whether with that with a counsellor, so that they can actually get rid of those feelings when let us do the actual legal work. And that's something that we really encourage, and we can set up here as well for them, so that they can talk out their emotional fears and what's going on, and then we can actually, like I said, just do the legal side of things.
Absolutely. I think the big message that has come out throughout probably 150 episodes of this show, whether it be family law or marketing, you in some ways you would think that there's no connection really, but actually the big thing that comes out is speak to a really ethical professional, that is their area of expertise, and as we've seen already in the first third of this show, that you will be signposted. Probably moving away from family law for one moment, Ruth, the hardest question you're going to get this morning is, as with Helen, you have kindly chosen a song for our listeners. So what is your song choice, and why have you picked it?
I've probably gone for a slightly cheesy one, but I have always been a massive Barbra Streisand fan. So I was trying to think of a song that of hers that I would like to play. And I've gone for one that isn't played very often, I don't think. And it's the one that she recorded with Donna Summer of Enough is Enough, No More Tears. Kind of feels quite apt because I know that she's sort of in her early 80s now and is, you know, it's has got a book out and stuff like that, so it felt like it was time to give that one a whirl.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, following that, another great song by Ruth. These family lawyers have got a good taste in music, haven't they? We have been speaking with Helen Bishop and Ruth Hawkins of BH&O around family law. So I just want to come on to another area of law, if that's okay, which is the prenup. It's spoken quite a lot in business books and podcasts and online. So can we start with my regular question? What is a prenup? And when could it be considered?
Okay, so I take that one. So a prenup is before you get married and you're thinking about it. It's more most useful for people who are coming into a marriage and you've both got your own assets, like you maybe built up over years before, or indeed family money. So one person might be coming to the marriage with a lot more assets and capital than the other. And so it's an agreement that then set out in writing as to if they were to separate, what would happen and where that money would go. And the reason it's important to have that if there is a disparity in capital is that under the Matrimonial Causes Act, which is the law that we use if you do divorce, the starting point is 50-50. So in order to deviate away from that, if you have an agreement as a prenuptial, it would give the court an idea of what the mindset was as to what you'd agreed. Now, of course, if you do that and 20 years later, you haven't updated it, obviously things will have moved on. So the longer the marriage is, the less likely that the prenup will be upheld. But it is very important if you are coming with a disparity into a relationship. It's one of those things that people, it's not very romantic though. So lots of people don't want to, you know, have a chat with your future wife or husband about it. However, it's also one of those things that with hindsight later on, people regret if they haven't done it, especially if they've gone into a marriage and they don't have children and the marriage, breaks down after a period of time. So if you are going into a marriage and you have got that disparity, it's worth taking some advice and thinking about it. So, have you anything to add to that?
Well, they've got to be done properly,
yes,
to be enforceable. So that's where it's really important not to do it on the back of an envelope, but to take proper legal advice. Because not just that the person who's seeking the prenup takes legal advice, but actually the other party also needs to take independent legal advice upon the agreement itself for it to be upheld by a court at a later stage. So that's where it's quite important, really, to make sure it's done properly. And, frankly, if you're spending 10, 15, 20, £25,000 on a wedding, to spend a couple of thousand on a prenup to make sure that the situation is as watertight as it possibly can be at a later stage, is probably proportionate.
Absolutely. I think without going sort of too far off topic, and you're going to wonder where I'm going with this. I was watching the Martin Lewis show the other day, and I think that it wasn't about prenups, but I think one of the things that was really, really fascinating there is the percentage of people who don't have a will, and especially with children as well. And it's just really, really scary that actually there's probably not that many more important things in life, if anything, than actually protecting your children or indeed protecting your family. So there was some logic to my point there. I think just staying with the prenup, if that's okay, I think the reason why a lot of people don't do things, whether it be in business or personal, is to avoid that awkward conversation potentially. I may be wrong. What would be your advice? And I appreciate there isn't a one size fits all, that if you're thinking about getting down on one knee, maybe I could word slightly better. And what's your advice about potentially, I guess, sort of touching on this subject or exploring a prenup?
I think if you're in that position, I think you just have to be quite pragmatic, both of you, about it and have that open discussion from the start. And if you're open about what your assets are, I think it would make it easier than you try. You couldn't be secretive because, like we said, you both have to have independent legal advice. But it's about being open and honest with each other, which I think is the best advice for any relationship going forward anyway.
I mean, it's not just about things like prenups, is it? I mean, we're not in the market of giving relationship advice, far from it. But, I mean, you know, you'd like to think that most couples starting off down that route, whether it's to get married or live together or what have you, also have similar conversations about what's important to them and, you know, do they want children? What happens if they can't have children? Or do they are they both saying they don't? You know, all of those sorts of things. We have those conversations. So in a way, if you know you're entering into a marriage and the other party has, you know, £100,000 more from an inheritance than you have, you probably need to have that conversation about how that might be dealt with if things don't work out.
Absolutely. I think the big theme in this show so far has very much been communication, hasn't it? Just moving on one step forward, really, because I think a lot of people that listen to this show run businesses and have teams. And I think it would be really, really useful. And I appreciate it's probably a bit of a difficult question, but if you're a business owner and somebody's struggling within your team, whether it be going through a divorce or whether it be children related or something family law related, what would be your advice? And is there anything you can do as a business owner to support your teams?
I think, you know, being a business owner myself alongside my two partners, that's a really good question. And it is really important as an employer to be thinking about, and a manager to be thinking about your team and how, and their, you know, well-being has been such a big buzzword over the last few years, and particularly since COVID, since the pandemic, we've all been very focused on well-being at work and so on, and rightly so. And of course, a big part of somebody's well-being is what's going on at home. And if things are going on at home that aren't great or are really poor, that is almost inevitably going to have an impact on their working life. We're not, you know, we're human beings. We're not robots. And it's sometimes really difficult and occasionally impossible to leave our baggage at the front door of the office.
Of course.
It's right. So as an employer, if you become aware that somebody within your team is going through some marital issues, or, you know, has some difficulty over children. I mean, occasionally I do quite a lot of work for grandparents and aunts and uncles who suddenly end up looking after children because social services have stepped in and removed them and placed them with a granny or with an aunt or something. And, you know, if you've got somebody who's working full time and then suddenly isn't able to because they're looking after a 3-year-old that has been, you know, handed to them at 10 o'clock at night on a Saturday night or something, that's bound to have an impact on their working environment, isn't it? So, and their ability to undertake their work. I mean, I suppose from a family law point of view, there are lots of resources out there. We've got quite a lot of information on our own website, although we probably could do with updating quite a lot of it. But there is a lot of information. There's various books and things and resources out there. But I mean, equally, if I think Helen and I would probably both say this, if we've got people in our network, in our business network, who have an employee that they're worried about and they just want to run something quickly past us, we're happy to have a quick chat over an email or over a mobile phone or LinkedIn or what have you, and see if we can signpost. I think it's often true to say that the sooner it's dealt with, the better, or they also are conversely, sometimes people just need a bit of time to process stuff as well. So it's very often about judging when the right time is to take that legal advice, and it will be different for everybody.
I'm going to flip back to the start of the show again, if that's okay, because I think that a very, very common phrase that I guess we see in the press and society teaches us under the umbrella of what you guys do so well is we're staying together for the children. It's a phrase that we hear so often, isn't it? What do you see in this area, and what would be kind of the things to consider and your advice? And I appreciate there isn't a case or a one size that fits all.
I think when dealing with children, I think again it's a communication. And what I say to every client that, you know, if you, the children pick up on things and you might not think they have, you're very much in the moment trying to sort out the relationship, and the children can easily pick up on a vibe at home. So it's really important, if you are going to separate, that you sit down, hopefully together, if you can possibly do that, and explain to the children what's going to happen. Staying together, you know, people do stay together for the children, but that's not always necessarily the right thing to do. If the atmosphere in the home is toxic and there's difficulties, that is going to be picked up by the children and will have an impact. Mm-hmm. If I can mention as well, I have a book which helps children deal with divorce and separation called Jack. And that's for young children, key stage one, so early years. And it helps them work out it's not unusual for parents to separate, and that it isn't their fault, and that everything will be okay. Lots of people go through this. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of, and again, it's about signposting parents to various places that can help them, whether it be use of books or therapy again for children.
Thank you both for such insight so far, and we will continue the conversation after another song.
Discussing topics that impact local businesses and their owners, this is The Business Brunch, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back to The Business Brunch here on Get Radio. I'm sure you're like me. I'm finding this conversation really, really insightful. I think when speaking to Ruth about putting together the show, I think what I really wanted to do is to give you, the listener, really an insight to a truly special firm, and which we're going to come on to in a moment, but also family impacts us all, and really wanted to share that insight with you. So let's re-kick off the conversation, if that's okay. So yes, family law is your area, but I think one of the other things that I think for those who follow your firm will have seen over the last 5 years, happy birthday, is that you do a lot in the community, and it's a big part of what you do as a firm. Can you just share with those listening at home just a little bit about some of the things you've done, and I guess kind of why you do it, and how it makes you part of the community? Is that okay?
It's been an evolving thing since before the firm was formed. So both myself and Emily and Irina, who are my two partners, together with Helen, were at a previous firm. And we always did things for the community, even at that firm. When we set up BH&O, we wanted to really, two things really. First of all, it was very important to us that we continued to have a legal aid contract so that we could continue to represent probably the most vulnerable group of family law clients out there, which are people that are entitled to legal aid for help with child protection work and also with domestic abuse. And alongside that, really, to really focus on helping some of the charities and community groups that we know are out there that make a massive difference to those sorts of clients. Mm. So consequently, we've been very focused on helping particularly our local children's centre here in Abingdon, the Abingdon Carousel, but also an organisation called Flag DV, which Helen with a couple of others helped form about 10 years ago, just over 10 years ago, which set out to offer free legal advice to domestic abuse sufferers in initially the West Berkshire area, but in fact it's grown to the whole of the Thames Valley Police area, so quite a massive regional organisation. And many of our team still provide free legal advice through that charity on a sort of clinic basis, so on a rota. Irina is now a trustee with our organisation as well. And then also other charities like PACT, in particular focusing on their work with vulnerable women in the area, and they do work with domestic abuse, children that have experienced domestic abuse, experienced or witnessed domestic abuse. Getting on for 6 years ago now, when we were in the process of forming and had formed, I became aware of local toy drive in Abingdon that was just starting, checked it out and decided that that was something we could really get behind. So we've got a burgeoning pile of toys and books and gifts for teenagers in our reception at the moment, which in the next couple of weeks will go off and be wrapped by winning volunteer elves into Christmas gifts for children that either can't afford or parents can't afford gifts for them this year, or who are struggling and have been referred by either social services or the food bank. But there are, you know, we do other stuff as well. I mean, I think it's really, for us, the key is whether we can see that it makes a difference to people that we're trying to help.
Of course, the recruiter in me is going to bring this on to staff. Apologies. But I think that there is a huge amount of data, and I can never remember the stats. But anyway, that says that businesses who do have a big social impact and businesses who do support charities and get involved in the community, that they retain staff better. It's a nicer place to work. It unites teams and the teams build stronger relationships with each other. So Helen, I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. Would you say that that's one of the big factors behind you working at BH&O? And I guess from an employee side of things, do you really feel that?
I think one of the most important things here is we're all valued. Absolutely. But because of the community work, it almost feels, and this sounds a bit cheesy, but it is like a family. It is the BH&O family. So we're, everybody looks after each other. And if you have got an issue, we can talk to anybody about it. So, and I think having that, you know, doing the charity work just shows just what sort of firm we are. And that support is great, actually. So yeah, we are a family of lawyers.
amazing. So I think the other thing that I think we've been asked to talk to you both about is around a career in law, more focused on family law, because I think that. We're soon, I can't believe I'm wishing the year away, but we're soon going to be getting to A-level times and going to university and really kind of thinking about careers. So it'd just be really useful if you're both happy to kind of kindly share your own experiences and maybe give that real insight into what would a career in family law really look like for those considering that.
Well, for me, I knew I wanted to be a solicitor probably from early teenage years. I didn't really know what that would be like. I'd watched things like Ally McBeal and LA Law at the time, and later on there was a program called This Life, I think, about a group of students, law students. And I thought, well, that sounds great. That looks great. Of course, it's nothing like it. If you'd have asked me when I was setting off on that journey, I'd have said I wanted to do criminal law because that was the interesting, you know, juicy side of things. And actually, I did have a brief period of time where I was doing a bit of criminal law alongside family, and I was very happy to give it up, I can say. It is interesting, but it's also perhaps not particularly sociable hours or, you know, but for me, what family law is about helping people solve problems. And I particularly like that when I'm doing the family mediation side of things, really. So it's a problem solving approach, and trying to help people move on and deal with things. So that for me is what appeals.
Yeah, I agree. Family law is about helping people. I went into law very open-minded, hadn't a clue as to what discipline I wanted to go down. But I just felt quite attracted to family law when I was doing my seat in a firm on the South Coast, which was very commercial, actually. So family was kind of out on its own. I enjoyed the court work and just helping people, being with people. Every day is different. So that you can't plan a day. It never goes to plan. I always say it's never boring. So it's always... Every day is different. There's always a challenge. You never always know every answer, even though we've been practicing for many years. So for those, I mean, we talk to lots of people. We go to careers events and we talk to students doing GCSEs and A-levels. And I think what you can say about the law, whether it's family law or anything else, it's so diverse and it's such an interesting career. And can lead you down so many different avenues. It's one of those careers that I definitely recommend.
Helen and I, in fact, started, we've both pre the pandemic and after the pandemic have done and probably will still do careers events at local secondary schools and so on. But actually, one of the things that we've realised, we get so many requests for work experience. And we've both got teenage children. And so I think for us, it was something that became a very personal issue a couple of years ago that we really can't take teenagers, we can't take under 18s for work experience because of the nature of the sorts of work that we do. It's often, not very nice stuff to read, but also can very often involve people that they might have come across, families that they might know. So we have to protect that confidentiality as well as protecting that young person. So it is actually one of those things that we have had to say over the last few years, we can't take under 18-year-olds for work experience. But of course that means, where do they go? Where does that young person who might be interested in a legal career get something that can go on their CV for UCAS or whatever going off into the future? So one of the things that we've done is that we've arranged, we have one last year, and we're in the process of arranging one probably sometime in the new year, a legal careers workshop in the office. We had, I think, about 10, didn't we, Helen? And we had them in for school day, really, so 9 till 3 o'clock, I think, and we bought them pizza from next door, from the Italian next door, for lunch. But we had these youngsters in, and they were years 10, 11, and one or two from 12, didn't we, from memory? And it was actually really incredibly successful. We got good feedback from all those young people, and it felt like it was a really positive thing for us to do. And at the time we had a couple of paralegals that also helped, and we really want to replicate that at least once this academic year, if not twice probably.
I think as well it's really important that children at school don't just see law as being something that you have to, you know, be very wealthy or you to do. I think it's achievable for everybody, and I think that's really important that all children know that they can do it. And not necessarily, they might not want to go down the route of going getting a law degree because of, everybody knows the costs involved in university and fees, and they don't want to rack up debt. So there are other ways now of going through the legal route. So it is really important if any young people think, actually, I would like to be a lawyer, but I'm not sure I can afford to do this, or my family can afford for me to go through. It's worth talking to people like us as to different options and to careers advisors.
So. Absolutely.
No, great advice. Great advice. We are very, very, very almost at the end of the show, and how quickly an hour can go. But we've got almost seconds left. So I'm going to put you both on the spot, if that's okay. Whenever I say this phrase, people's face drops. I guess based on all of the amazing things we've spoken about over the last hour, or indeed something we've missed, what would be your takeaway top tip or something for people listening at home to consider? And I'm going to pick on you, Ruth. What's your takeaway tip?
Don't panic. There is lots of help out there. There are lots of resources online, books, library, agencies, etc. Give us a ring, have a look at our website. But don't panic. Just take your breath. And also remember your own mental health. And, you know, it may be that you don't need to rush straight off and get legal advice. Actually, what you might need to do is to get some emotional support as well.
Amazing advice. And Helen, what's the take? What's the end of the show?
Well, I would say, which I've said previously during this hour, is good communication, whether that's with your partner, with your children, and communicating with other people about it. So don't bottle things up. Talk. I think that's really important.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I'm really gutted. It's the end of the show. I could have definitely gone on for another hour, but it is the end of the show. So thank you so much, and to you both for sharing such insight and such honest insight with those listening at home or in their office or wherever they may be. If you are just tuning in, I would definitely recommend checking out the website of BHNO, so Boardman, Hawkins and Osborne, as there's lots of great stuff there, as mentioned by Helen and Ruth today. So this is the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. We will be back next Sunday at 11 o'clock, both online or on the radio, with a brand new guest. That also, you can listen to this show on all of your favourite podcast platforms, which is released every Monday morning. Also, there is a video format. So if you would like to see the wonderful guests that we have, see their faces, and do head over to the Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. But for now, enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and I look forward to you tuning in again next week.